Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that your love never fails, Lord, never gives up. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who never changes, and we can lean on you, we can run to you, we can turn to you, and we know that you love us, Lord. We ask you that you would take tonight and speak to our hearts, help us to minister to one another about the amazing things that you've done in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be doing something a little different tonight, as Robert said up front. Tonight is really what we're doing is about worship. We worshiped God through tithes and offerings. We worshiped God through the singing of praises to Him. And right now, we're going to take some time tonight. We're not going to have a message, but we're going to take some time tonight, and we're going to take some time to worship God through thanksgiving, through remembering what He has done in our lives and praising Him for what He's going to do in our lives. So what we're going to do tonight is Robert and I are going to kind of be the MCs up here, and we're going to give you guys the opportunity. So start thinking about that now. We're going to give you the opportunity to look back over 2013 and see how God has worked in your life. What amazing things has He done in your life? Maybe it was something that was completely unexpected, just out of nowhere. Wow, God, this was amazing. Maybe it was something that you knew was coming, and you saw it, God saw it through successfully in your life. And what we're going to do is, we got a little microphone here. I can run around with the microphone. If you have a big mouth, you don't need the microphone. Just kind of wave me off. But
And why are we doing this? It's important to remember what God has done for us. When you and I are struggling on a Monday, going back to work, 7 o'clock rolls in, we got to get in the shower, you know, tires flat. You need to be able to look back at what God has done in the past. And sometimes we forget that part. We forget that part and we lose our faith. We lose our strength. And we start worrying about all the things that are in front of us. Mm-hmm. And we forget about all the miracles that He's delivered in the past. And if we just trust Him, He'll do it in the future as well.
All throughout the Old Testament, if I could interrupt you for a second, all through the Old Testament, God says, remember me. And He's doing that so that people remember that He is a God who delivers. He's a God who comes through. So that during the difficult times, like Robert said, during the difficult times, we can remember that God does love us. Even though we may not feel it at the time, we could remember that He does and remember how He brought us through, just like they did in the Old Testament.
Yeah, and in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, it talks about where they brought the Ark of God into the tent that David had pitched, and it talks about everyone kind of ministering and remembering and celebrating. And chapter 16, verse 12 says this. It says, remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. It tells us to remember in the Old Testament, as Scott said. Scott, what are some of the things that you remember about 2013? Kind of, what has God been doing in your life this past year?
Well, the glaring one is Evan in our life. Back last year, we found out that Ryan was pregnant, and we weren't quite sure what to expect as far as Ryan has had some, years ago she was in a car accident, and her spine got really messed up. Her spine actually, spine's lined up like this, her spine did this, and that's the way it stayed. So we weren't sure, is she going to be able to carry a baby? And what was really interesting is God positioned the baby inside of her exactly in the spot where her back didn't hurt. And during her pregnancy, her back has felt better than it has ever since the car accident. And Evan didn't move. He didn't flip. Because we're reading all these things and the baby books and online and everything else. Oh, your baby's going to move all around here and all around here. And he's going to flip over. And he's sitting there. And he was facing backwards, which was also really, really unique. But he stayed there the whole time. And then she had to go through a C-section because he was breech. So we weren't sure what the deal with that was going to be because the way that he was positioned, his legs were up over his head. And when they deliver a baby like that, oftentimes the hips are broken when they take the baby out because they can't get him out. And they didn't have to do that. He just came right out. He was healthy. Ryan's back was great through the whole pregnancy. And he has been he's a happy boy, which we're thrilled at. I'm going to teach him to have a sense of humor. But you know, that was just the glaring blessing in both of our lives over this past year was Evan and the fact that Ryan was healthy through the whole thing. So, yep.
I think for me, one of the things I think about in 2013 is how God has encouraged me to be much more bold in my workplace. A year ago, December, my father passed away, and I have always had incredible peace, knowing he's with the Lord, knowing he's celebrating that, and it's never wavered, and God has kept me strong through that. And it's interesting when you talk to people all throughout life, oh, your father passed away, I'm really sorry, how are you doing? And of course I was sad, don't get me wrong, but I know he's not suffering. And that door of that comfort has allowed me to have a lot of discussion with several different people in my office and other friends, and just them being curious as to how you can go through something like this and not just really be a mess, which is understandable as well. You know, it does take a toll, but God has given me a lot of peace. I don't know why, if for nothing else, just to be able to witness for those couple of people. So I'm honored that he would use that circumstance and that in order for me to touch others with what he's done for me. So this is 2013. A few examples from Scott and I have a feeling that he and I could talk a lot, but that's not the point. The point, I think, is to understand, what is he doing at Westbridge? What is he doing in your lives? What is he doing in the lives of your friends? As we say in men's group, you know, my friend. But these are good things. So I know it's bold. I know you didn't come prepared to teach us, but we want to listen. So Mr. Mike, can you belt it out, or do you want a lavalier? Oh, you're coming down front. All right. Yeah, there was a, you know, we can be thankful for the good food we have over the holidays, but, and I show it.
Amen. So. Actually, I got two. The first one will be easy to get through. The second one might break me up, but.
Mike needs a mic.
Mike needs a mic?
Is it on?
Am I on?
Should be on.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. There. The first one, actually, as some of you know, I've been struggling for a while with employment. I was in, like, underpaying jobs, things like that, things that were not going anywhere. Well, God not only blessed me with a new job this year, he also has blessed me with the ability to work from home. So all this nasty weather we've had to deal, I haven't had a commute. So it's great. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Don't hate me too much. The second thing, some of you also know I've had some struggles with my kids. And, you know, God blessed me as a youth leader with having a whole bunch of great kids to work with and watching them grow and helping them get through life. Well, a couple of months ago, I've been praying for years for my kids to, you know, have a relationship with me again. And I finally changed my prayer to say, you know what, if I can't have them in this life, let them have you. And that's why I figured I'd have them for eternity. Well, not only can God give me that prayer, he's also given me my son back. And he was here for our Christmas service.
Amen.
So if you have something in your life that's going on that you think is not going to happen, God says be persistent in prayer. Because he'll deliver it. It may not be in your time, but he will deliver it.
So. Well done, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else want to share? You're in, Daryl.
Daryl.
We can come to you as well. No need to stand even.
You need a mic, Daryl?
It's up to you.
What? I don't think you do.
They don't get to come up very often. I think they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
You get to get in front. All right. 20. Okay.
You make me feel better.
2013 was a really hard year for my family in a lot of different ways. But at the end of 2012, my youngest son, Hank, became very ill. Actually, in 2012, he wasn't that ill. He had a chest cold. And he went through antibiotics and thought he was going to be okay. Another round of antibiotics, thought he was going to be okay. and all the medicines the doctor gave him. And after the third round, his lungs became so scarred that his body became incapable of absorbing, am I saying that word right? Calories. So he was eating three times a day and starving to death, literally. We took him to every doctor we could. Of course, at that time, because of his age, his insurance lapsed out. He couldn't work. And so I'm trying to work as much as I can and rob from Peter to pay Paul, trying to afford to pay doctors who could do nothing for him. Literally, just kept saying, the last one finally said, there's nothing we can do for him. Make him comfortable. He had gone from 230 pounds down to less than 130 pounds in the course of a few months. Okay? And my wife and I were begging, pleading anybody that would pray. Listen, anybody that would pray. Every week we were back here in the back room. I'm sure they really got tired of hearing it after a while.
Never.
And just the women's groups. I had everybody that would listen, pray for my son. Because I believe in healing power prayer. I've been healed myself on more than one occasion. And God, as a matter of fact, God won't let me die. I should have died at least a half a dozen times. And I'm still here. And moderately healthy. And I thought to myself, my poor son, what did he do wrong? He gets up in the morning. He plays his guitar. He worships God. That's what he does. He helps people. That's his life. You couldn't ask for a better son. Why him? You know, take me instead. I've made my mistakes. I tried to do the best I can, but take me. I should have been gone a long time ago. I should have been gone when I was 23. Take me. Let him live. Kept getting sicker and sicker. Finally, my daughter, who doesn't usually get emotional, was talking at her gym to a man who does nutrition. Thank you. And he said, I think I know how to help your son. So he put him on a regimen of milkshakes. What a way to have to suffer, to have him drink milkshakes three times a day. Boy, oh boy. I drink one milkshake, I gain 14 pounds. This kid gets to drink three milkshakes a day. And I'm not talking a little one. I mean like a quart three times a day. I'm like, wow, wow. And he's still a little guy. He's probably gained about 25 pounds back. But that was better than the 2 to 3 pounds a day he was losing. His body got to the point he was so weak he couldn't get out of bed, that the soft tissues in his body, literally his left shoulder was completely gone. There was no connecting tissues left. He couldn't play his guitar at all. It was breaking his heart. He was more upset because he couldn't worship God here, that he had to step off of the band for a period of time last year, than the fact that he was dying. And so I'm just thankful that he's healthy. He's a little scrawny for my liking. In my house, even my son-in-law, if you're not at least 220, 230, you're scrawny, you know? We're all big guys. Women are this big, guys are this big, and we run away from them. You know, that's how it is. You know, but I'm just thankful to God that he let my son live, because in any given moment, I would die in his place. So thank you, Jesus.
And Hank played lead guitar tonight. Isn't he incredible? Hank, well done. We couldn't do Westbridge without you.
Anybody else? Sherry.
Miss Sherry, we'll come to you.
Oh, all
right, come on down.
All right.
Up to you.
Just talking this thing?
Yep, sure.
Hi. Hello. All I want to say is the prayer groups that we have. A friend of mine was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and he had 2 different types of cancer, which I guess is better than 1. But anyway, we just kept praying for him, and come to find out that he is actually cancer-free. He was supposed to have, he had lung cancer and esophagus cancer, and on December 18th, he was supposed to have surgery they were actually gonna like cut the esophagus out and make a new one. And somebody told him, don't do that, go get a second opinion. He went into New York City, and they told him, before you have the surgery, have an endoscopy done again. They took very large chunks out of his esophagus. Is no cancer.
Amen.
So all I got to say is our prayer groups and prayer teams, just keep praying, because I've seen so many miracles through that, and he's doing good. It's like in a matter, I saw him at Thanksgiving. We were together. Looked like a very old man, very pale. We just spent New Year's Eve together, and he must have gained like 30 pounds. He looks like a totally different person. So praise God for that.
Yep. Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty much over when you get on the women's prayer list. So if you want something to come to God's attention, you bring it up to the ladies, and sometimes those are shared with the men as well. God moves when we ask him, and we come to him. Yeah, Rachel, come on up.
And By the way, you don't have to come up if you don't want to, if you're camera shy, but...
Oh, come on.
Do I just
hold want to pressure me.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay, so just this past weekend, we had, like, a serious breakthrough with one of my friends that we've been praying for, Francesca and I. We have a friend named Tori, and she had fallen away from the Lord for, like, a long time. She got involved with, like, New Age stuff and mysticism. She was even practicing, like, witchcraft and things like that. And then she finally just came to God because she hit rock bottom. And she was walking with the Lord for a few months. You guys may have seen her here, like, back in the spring. But by the time August came, she just got really burnt out because she was just trying to, like, do things for, like, building her own kingdom rather than God's kingdom. So she just got really mad at God and just completely turned away again and went back into all of her old stuff, like the New Agey things and witchcraft and things like that. And Francesca and I were just so, like, torn apart because we were like, oh my gosh, she was doing so good. She was just, like, so happy, completely different person from, like, who she used to be. She suffers with depression, bipolar, and things like that. But when she was walking with the Lord, that stuff completely subsided. She was so joyful all the time, so happy, because God was just working through her. But when she fell back away, she just became depressed and everything all over again. And, like, Fran and I have been praying since August, like, Lord, like, what is going on? Just bring her back. Just convict her. Do something. Like, that's your child. And she just completely, like, fell away. So we're praying and praying for months, and, like, November hits, and we're just, like, losing hope. We're like, oh my goodness, like, what's the point in even praying anymore? Like, what's going on? You know, we're getting really discouraged. And then it just hit us that, like, even though she's falling away, we know who our God is. We know he's faithful. And all he was doing during that time that she was going back to depression and everything is just strengthening her testimony. The people she was hanging out with, they're going to see such a difference in her, like, from when she's walking with Jesus as opposed to when she's not. So that was just encouraging. So we just kept praying. And last weekend, it was Saturday night. We didn't have church and everything, the family fun night or whatever. And I couldn't sleep for the life of me. I had no idea why. I just couldn't fall asleep. It's like 1 a.m. and all of a sudden she's just really on my heart and had to pray for her. I had no idea why. I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? So I figured I should text her. I was kind of struggling with that. I was like, I don't know if I should text her this at like 1 a.m. That's kind of weird. But I was like, okay, God, whatever. So I texted her and I was like, hey, Tori, I hope you're okay. You're really on my heart, so I'm praying for you right now. I don't know what's going on. I hope you're all right. And the next morning, Francesca and I had plans to go to church. We were going to go to a 9 a.m. service at this one church and then stay for the 11 a.m. service for extra worship because, you know, we're just worship junkies or whatever. So it's like 9 a.m. I'm on my way to pick Francesca up so we can go to church. And we both get texts from Tori that are saying, dude, that's so weird that you were praying for me because I had the worst mental breakdown of my life yesterday. I was like ripping my hair out. Just all these kinds of things. She just basically hit rock bottom all over again. And we just knew, we're up this early because we need to go get her and take her to church. So we call her, and we're like, Tori, we're coming to get you. I hope you're up to this. And she, at first she was kind of like, well, I'm kind of sick, I don't know. And we're like, if you're tired, we'll buy you coffee. You can bring like blankets into the car, whatever. We're coming to get you. So she was like, okay. So we come and get her. We got her some coffee and stuff and, you know, took our time getting to church because we had until like 11 o'clock to get there because we were going to go to the second service then. And when we got there, we were there early, and she just started, like, pouring her heart out, saying she feels like nothing. She just feels like absolutely nothing on the face of the earth. And to hear somebody say that they feel like nothing when they are so beloved and such a beautiful child of God, it was just like, oh, my goodness. So we just started speaking life into her, and she knew. Like, she was so convicted. She was just like, I know God is real. I know he's real. And we go into church. Of course, the whole service, like, the message is lined up just for her, relating to her. And then the pastor, he just starts saying, I really feel like there's somebody here who was walking with the Lord for months and then fell away. And now going into 2014, you'd really just want a fresh start. And it just hit her. And, like, she saw so many people running up to get baptized. And she was just totally hit and just came back to God and gave her heart back. So I just want to encourage you guys, for those that fall away, don't get discouraged. If you know who God is, he is so faithful, and he will provide, he will give favor. There's this passage I came across the other day where Paul was thanking the Corinthians for praying for him, and he writes, God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So keep praying. Prayer is seriously so powerful. And like, I know the context of this verse was probably actually physical danger of like being robbed or something. I don't really know. But I think that relates to spiritual danger too. And God is faithful to protect us when we ask him to. We just have to ask and just keep speaking life over people, even when they're so unlovable or we just have no hope anymore because we're like, oh, they're too far gone. You're never too far gone. God's love goes way farther than any distance we could ever travel away from him. So don't be discouraged. Keep praying. Okay, that's it. I'm done.
What are we doing on time, Robert?
And it's about 1:45. Any other 2013? Yes, we have one. Francesca.
Francesca?
Go ahead, and then Miss Jess after that.
Okay, I'll just go. Okay, this last year has been a crazy year for me. I've had a lot of trials and a lot of really good times. It's like, I feel like the Christian walk is kind of like a roller coaster ride. Anyone could agree with that, where you're like up really high. And then sometimes he's like, okay, I'm at the mountaintop. All right, brace yourself. We're going to go low. And when you go low, you're going to be able to relate to people. And then you're going to help them bring up. You know, it's kind of how it is a lot. Does anyone know the passage, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open? Okay, that's a great passage because it's true. And you have to ask for with faith. And how do you have faith? Well, it's like, first of all, it's a gift. And so you just ask for the gift of faith. You ask for more faith. But then also, like, experience with God builds faith, right? Because if you have lots of experiences with him and he proves himself to be faithful time after time. No, but, like, seriously, like, he really does. Sorry. He really does, like, prove himself to be faithful the more that you lay it out on the line. And it's like, if you want to have faith, you kind of have to take a risk. And there was times where, like, you know, he was, like, leading me to go do something, and I'm like, like, well, God, like, that's kind of crazy. But then, I was like, you know what, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And it worked out fine. And the biggest thing that I've learned this year, number one thing is, okay, there's a verse in 2 Chronicles. I don't know the exact reference, but it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. So the Bible, God himself, as the word, Jesus, tells you to seek his presence continually. Well, how do you seek his presence? Well, you have to spend time with him, right? Because what did Jesus do when he was chilling with all his home dogs and he's like, all right, peace, y'all, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go spend some time with my dad. And everyone's like, oh, right, well, why does he want to spend time with us? Man, he's got to spend. Well, he knew that the power of the presence of God. And then, I have a really sweet friend on Facebook and in real life named Greg, and he plays drums here, and he's awesome. And he's like the walking Bible verse machine. Literally. And he literally helps me out so much. And there's this verse that he found. It's in, can I put this here for a second?
Yeah.
I have it marked here. It's in Exodus 33. And it said, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua of Nun, did not leave the tent. And so, like, I thought that was really cool because Joshua was like, I love the presence. And he just wanted to stay in the presence all the time. And he didn't want to leave. And I know what that feels like. And it's awesome. And it's like, you know, at lunch break, I'll be like, yay, it's time to worship Jesus. And I'll just go. And my coworkers think I'm nuts. And it's like, that's okay because I don't care because I'm happy and they're not so happy. And so it's like, you know, like, whatever. But, you know, so the point is, it's like there's all throughout the Bible, there's lots and lots and lots of verses about living water. And this is like a revelation. Now, you could fight me on this. We could get all theological. All I know is that I experience what it's like to drink living water. And you know, the days that I don't, it hurts. I feel sick when I'm not in his presence. And I've been going through a trial right now where I feel condemnation. I don't want to go spend time with him. Like, I have a little brat moment like my son does sometimes. This is like, you know. And I realize, like, having a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old really teaches you a lot about us. And so it's like, oh, man, like, am I doing the same thing my son's doing? But there's a verse that Jesus says to the Samaritan woman. He says, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me for living water. She's like, well, where do I get this living water? And he's like basically saying it's free because if you read Isaiah 55, it says, ho, but I like to say, yo, come to the water, the living water, free without price, without price. Oh, it's free. And then he says in Revelations, I'll give you the living water. Oh, it's free and it's living and I can drink it. Oh, great, cool. All right, so all you got to do is be ask and receive, right? So I get into worship. I sit down with God. I'm like, love you, Jesus. I give him everything I have for the day. I mean, I'll give him my heart, my whatever it is. You know, you can command how things go by saying, I command you to worship God right now. And then you command yourself to do it, and you will do it because you're taking authority over it. And God gives us authority. And I say, God, I would like the living water, please. I'd like your presence. And then I wait, and then he gives it to me. Simple, right? That's cool. So if he's saying for you, it's free, without price, ask and you will receive, then it's really simple. So that's been my biggest lesson this past year. And I really am so grateful for the friends I've had here, like Rachel and Greg. And there's just so many people that from this church, and the messages have been really good. And I just want to encourage everybody to like let the brotherly love subside all like judgments of people. And we all are flawed, and we all really need Jesus like a lot, because we were dead, not just bad people, we were dead people, and now we have Jesus. So if you can look at everybody around you in this church and realize that we all have struggles, and we all can flirt with inward shame, and we can all flirt with condemnation and be like, well, you know, or you can do the false humility thing, let's not go down there. But the point is, it's like, you know, we gotta love each other, because if we love one another, we're gonna see this church like really get set on fire. And that's what God's been pushing on my heart to tell you guys, is that this year, 2014, is going to be a big year for this church in terms of a love increase. And he wants to pour lavish love on us, and all we have to do is say, I receive God, yay, woohoo, he's awesome. So that's all I gotta say. Right. Thank you, cool. So much.
Thank you.
And one more for Jess.
All right, Miss Jess, last one on Jess, 2013.
We'll go to 2014. Yeah, you can sit.
Oh, that's good.
You can
no
sit
problem.
Back there if you want to. Yeah, just talking to that little white thing.
Just in the general area is okay. Yeah.
So this past year, my family's gone through a lot. And in the beginning of the year, my dad separated from his ex-wife. And my family wasn't close, like, at all. And God kind of brought me to the Collin family. And they kind of, like, they filled in that void with their family. Like, they accepted me in as, like, kind of like their child. And so, like, I'm really thankful for that. And then probably not even, like, a month ago, my sister was diagnosed with Wegener's gluematosis. And it's an autoimmune disease, and it, like, affects her vital organs, like her sinuses, her lungs, and stuff like that. And she went through, like, a week and a half of treatments and stuff like that, and we found out probably a week or two ago that she is in remission. So like everybody, my whole family has been praying for her. So like it just tells me that like God is there and he always listens.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
You each have your 2013 moment. I should say moments. You have many of them. Our challenge this week, as we talk about 2014 in a moment, what Scott and I would challenge you with this week is think about those. Maybe even write them down. God tells us to leave marks, kind of landmarks, memories of what he's done for us, so that when we're in trouble, we just kind of look back at that and say, God acted there. God did that for me. So our challenge this week is think about all those things. Let it flood your mind. Let it make you smile from ear to ear. You'll probably spend a lot of time there, but we encourage you to do that on your own. If we look going forward, 2014, Scott.
Yeah, 2014. What we're looking at here, we're not going to spend as much time on this one because we won't get out of here. But what are some God-honoring goals that you have set for 2014? What are things that you're excited about God doing in your life? And it's these things that we want to thank God for in advance. We want to say thank you, God, for doing that in my life. And thank you for answering that question. Hey, I may have a goal in my life, and God may answer it with a no. I've had plenty of those in life. And then years down the road, I look back and I say, God, thank you so much for answering that with a no. Because he knows everything. He knows what's coming down the road. So, but we want to thank him in advance for hearing our questions, for the God of the universe hearing our questions and answering our questions however he sees fit. So, Robert, you got a verse for this, actually.
Yeah. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 29:11. I have a feeling some folks here know that one. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." It was interesting. I was listening to the radio. I was in Michigan visiting family this week. I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about New Year's resolutions. And we're going down that danger here in 2014 of talking about all the aspiration things that we all want to do. But it was very interesting because the woman on the radio, she said, write down all those things that you want to do in 2014 and blah, 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 and then everybody's supposed to do that. She said, take your piece of paper and crumble it up. She said, make a big, tight wad of it. And then I want you to open it back up again. And then look at the piece of paper and say, God, rewrite this with what you want the paper to say, not what I want the paper to say. Now, that might be the same thing that you just wrote down. It might be slightly different. I know you've been thinking about these things. And Scott, I know for me, it's going to be a milestone year. I'm looking forward to this November, celebrating 25 years of marriage with my wife. So, yeah, thank you. So we've spent a lot of time this past year reconnecting. We'll be empty nesting in a few years, and actually we're going to renew our vows. So I'm quite humbled by that. That's a long time that God has honored me with a wonderful woman. And I know I want to be more intentional about fostering that relationship, and I know I want to be more intentional with my relationship with God as well as I look to 2014. But I want him to write on that piece of paper what he wants to do with me, what he wants to teach me, what he wants to change in my heart, and what he wants to do through me. I don't know, Scott, if you were thinking about anything about 2014 in your life as well.
There's a lot. Before I do that, though, another verse came to me. It's Isaiah 41:13. Oftentimes when we set goals or we have aspirations or what we're looking for something, there's a sense of fear that comes over us that wants to hold us back from pursuing that. But Isaiah 41:13 is a verse that that goes very far that way. It says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." So whatever we're going through, when we dedicate that thing to God, he will help us in those things. One of the things that I'm looking forward to this year is I'll be completing my degree in pastoral ministry. So I am very excited about that. I will be quite relieved not to have to put the hours into schoolwork anymore, unless I decide to further it beyond what it is. But that's something that that I'm definitely looking forward to. And God willing, will come to pass. So, yeah. So that's
any 2014 things you would like to see God work in? Yeah, Mr. Carey, you want me to come to you? You coming to me? Come on down. There's no washer dryer for you, by the way, or anything.
That's all good.
But
all right. 2014, I just applied for general studies in college, so I'm gonna try to change my life by going at least for general. I don't know what I want to do yet, but I'm hoping God would tell me or help me figure out what I want to do with my life. So that's a huge step, going back to school. And I actually was told by my stepfather, Mike Von Fabian, there was a post on Facebook that he read that I think fits here is, while we're trying to set goals, is if you want to do something with your life, you gotta want to have, you're gonna want to have it as much as breathing. So if you don't want to breathe, then you're not gonna get that, you know, goal. So I think that just fits here. Is if you want something, you gotta want it as much or more than breathing. So I figured that was a good thing to say. So
well done, thank you, and good luck.
Saw Greg over here. Greg, I can't walk in front of the speaker, so I'll walk down there, or if you want to come over here. Yep, yep. I did that once, and I learned forever not to do that.
Something amazing happened for me this year, something I've always wanted. A couple people in the church reached out to me to get close to me. One of them was Caleb Dean, and we've been having some wonderful times of fellowship together in the scripture. Another one was Chris Legee, reached out to me and asked me to help him with a music project he was doing. And while we were doing it, we got to open up, him more than me. But I so enjoy and so miss, when I was a young Christian in the 70s, it was so easy to get close to brothers and sisters, anyone you met. And when you're newly saved, man, you feel like you're madly in love with everyone. But as time goes on and the responsibilities of life come on, we get so busy sometimes in our routines that it's hard to really connect. And I know how precious you all are in this room to Jesus and God. I mean, I probably don't know, but I get a sense of it sometimes, and it's really powerful. And I hope this year to get closer to a whole bunch more of you, to share some fellowship, and maybe just go a little bit deeper. And beyond that, a personal wish is I want more drummers. So
sounds good.
Pray with me for that. Yep. Greg and I can't do it all.
Both Greg.
Your name has to be Greg in order to be a drummer.
So. Both Greg and Francesca and probably even others, this is not to be done alone. God doesn't want us to go through life alone. He wants us to be surrounded by other Christians. That's how we keep strong. That's how we return to being strong. And this is the place where we get those friends. This is the place where we want to go deeper through small groups and do those things. So maybe a 2014 thing is, how do I get in connected with one of those? Possibly that's what God's going to write on your piece of paper. Because we know that's where he encourages us and lifts us up. And that's where we get that pick-me-up in the middle of the week between Saturday and Saturday. Anyone else want to talk about 2014? Miss Jenny.
Jenny, you want to come up or you want to bring back there? Okay. Just do one more after this.
Sounds good. Okay, so in 2014, well, first of all, for the past 2 years, I've kind of been a nomad and like living from house to house and kind of like a little bit of a hermit crab, taking my house with me and my car, a little bit of a mixture. And then I lived at a homeless shelter, I lived in my car, I traveled a bunch, and I didn't really have anywhere to settle down. And that's what I was praying for 2014. And on New Year's Day, the very first day of 2014, God gave me a place to live. And I finally have somewhere where I can set my toothbrush and it will stay. That's what I wanted most of all. Somewhere I could just set my toothbrush and it would stay there. And I'm so excited, I'm going to cry. I have a place to stay, and it's temporary, and I'm continuing to pray for somewhere that's long-term, which could come through soon, but I have a place to live.
Amen. Well done. Okay, just one more person who might want to share, and I love how some new folks have come up for 2014. Okay, we have a repeat. That's all right. Aw. No. Very good.
Okay, so I don't know. I guess my goal for 2014 is just to be okay to surrender to God. And that means sins and things that I don't like to think about ever. So I'm just going to share something with you and be really real with you real quick. It's about to get real, so here we go. A year and a half ago was when I finally just completely gave my life to God, like fully, like sold out. And before that, I used to struggle with like drugs and drinking and things like that. And recently, I don't know, I guess it's, I don't know if it's like a lie the enemy has put in my head, I don't really know, but I've just been thinking a lot like, it's okay to have a drink here and there, which I'm not condemning anybody who does because I don't think it's wrong, but like for someone who's 20 years old, probably not the best idea. So I had a drink recently and I got a little buzz off of it, which I wasn't expecting. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? Like, this doesn't even compare to the presence of God. This doesn't compare to Holy Spirit and just like
being in fellowship with him. Like, this doesn't even compare. I was, like, sitting there, like, this is so stupid. Like, this doesn't even, like, God doesn't ask us to repent of things and give things to him because it's, like, wrong. And, like, I feel like so many times we just look at, like, all the things Jesus didn't do and we're like, oh, we should just try not to do those because it's bad. I don't think it's, like, necessarily that mindset. It's because, like, what he has for us in place of that is so much better. Like, every time I surrender and just repent and, like, allow room for him to work, it's so much better than anything on this earth. It's so much better than anything I could ever get myself into. So it's like, why am I wasting time on, like, dumb little things when all he wants to do is give me something that's better? Like, that's what he's already paid for, and we can claim that. So I just want to be able to, like, repent of things and just give them up and not hold on to them so much, because it's not like Jesus is looking at me like, oh my gosh, you're terrible, I just don't want you to do those things, that's bad, okay, that's bad, man. No, it's because he's like, come on, I have something so much better for you, so just take it. I paid for it. Like, you don't need to do anything for it. So, yeah, I don't know. I just want to encourage you guys to do the same, and I'll leave you with a quote that a dear friend of mine gave me this summer, and it's by Oswald Chambers, and it says, "No love of the natural heart is safe unless the human heart has been satisfied with God first, because God is the best." So, yeah, okay, I'm done. I'm sorry for repeating.
No, very, very good. Well done. That's great. Well done. So as we close things out, actually, we want to spend a bit of time in the final part of worship that we want to focus on, and that's prayer. So what Scott and I would like to do is make a big, huge Westbridge circle. Let's connect up.
What we do in the back before each service is all the people in the service gather together in a circle. So we want to do that here, and then Robert and I are going to pray.
If I know it's flu season, so if somebody's got a flu, elbows touching does count. Oh, no offense.
You.
We're probably going to have to stretch this thing all around the chairs. So
we may have to stretch it out that way a little bit.
Dave and Joanne, keep going. Keep going. Stretch out there. Stretch out there. Yep. Stretch out. We're very cozy up here, so keep stretching around the corner. Keep stretching. Keep stretching.
All right.
This is like a big conga line. All right.
So Robert,
I have an elbow up front.
So Robert is going to close us out in the 2013, thanking God for what he did, and then I will close us out as we look forward to 2014.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are magnificent. As we heard, only a grain of sand of what you have done in our lives in 2013, we're still in awe. We are so thankful for the movements that you have made in our lives, for the growth that you have given each of us. Father, we're thankful for the prayers that have been answered. We're thankful for the hearts that have been strengthened. We're thankful for the people who have had to go down on a knee in order to surrender to you. Father, we just lift you up tonight. We wanted this service to be a gift to you. Father, only it's really your gift to us because you are the great provider. We are thankful for you, Father. We ask you to help us to continue this week to remember all that you have done for us. Help us to share the good news with others of how you've worked. Open some doors, Father. We thank you.
And Heavenly Father, we look forward to 2014. Bringing us into this year, Lord, most of us have set goals for this year. We ask that you would look at our lives, look down through the rest of the year, through the rest of our lives, Lord, and if they are goals that honor you and that keep us in your will, we ask that you would answer these goals with a yes. If they're not, Lord, if there's something that is going to take us away from you, that's going to start to draw us away, we ask that you would answer these goals that we have with a no. Because, Lord, we know the safest place to be is in your will, and the most dangerous place to be is outside of your will. Father, we ask that we move forward this year, whether our goals are to get in your word more, to witness to people more, to pray more. Whatever the goal is, Lord, we ask you to help us to move forward with boldness, with humility, Lord, not to be arrogant about what we're doing, Lord, but in everything, to know that our gifts, abilities, talents, everything has come from you, and everything is a gift from you, Lord. We thank you. We ask you to bring us back safely next week, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 See you next week, Saturday night.